first was the Tevijja Vacha Gotta Sutta, I believe. Majjhima Nikaya number 71. Okay, so Tevijja Vacha Gotta Sutta to Vacha Gotta on the Threefold True Knowledge, Majjhima number 71. And you'll be thrilled to know that this one rejoices in having no Chinese counterpart suttas. So that makes things simple. Mm-hmm. Relatively speaking. Or Sanskrit.
No counterpart anywhere else.
No counterpart anywhere. Yeah.
Vacha-gotta crops up in other suttas.
He crops up in plenty. He's got his whole Sanyutta. And the other, there's three suttas in the Majjhima dealing with him, in the Pali, but the other two are found in the Chinese Sanyutta as well, in the Vacha-gotta Sanyutta. So it seems probably more rational to put them all together in the Vacha-gotta Sanyutta. On one occasion, the Blessed One was living in Vesali in the great wood with the hall with the peaked roof. That's the Kutagara Sala, the Kuta. So this is the hall with the peaked roof we're staying in now. The roof, it's got a kuta. Then, when it was morning, the Blessed One dressed and, taking his golden outer robe, went into Vesali for alms. Then the Blessed One thought, it is still too early to wander for alms in Vesali. Suppose I went to the wanderer Vacha-gotta in the wanderer's park of the single white lotus mango tree. Now, I'm not sure if any of you guys have this opinion on the matter, but it does strike me as rather unusual that the Buddha gets the time for alms round wrong. And it strikes me as rather unusual that he gets it wrong, not just once, but it's quite several times. And not only does he get the time for alms round wrong, he gets it wrong in a sutta, which is about to go and discuss the nature of omniscience. Isn't that a bit extraordinary?
Everybody
stays, no, that's probably right. Yeah, no. Those Vajji Putikas from Wesley, they were out having some all-night debauch. And, yeah, that's probably true. They were renowned sensualists. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going on there. Then the Blessed One went to the wanderer Vacha-gotta in the wanderer's park of the single white lotus mango tree. The wanderer Vacha-gotta saw the Blessed One coming in the distance and said to him, "Let the Blessed One come, venerable sir. Welcome to the Blessed One. It is long since the Blessed One found an opportunity to come here. Let the Blessed One be seated. This seat is ready." So that's a good example of how to welcome and have visitors and guests coming into the monastery. The Blessed One sat down on the seat made ready, and the wanderer Vacha-gotta took a low seat, sat down at one side, and said to the Blessed One. So he's taking a humble posture. "Venerable sir, I've heard this. The recluse Gotama claims to be omniscient and all-seeing, to have complete knowledge and vision. Thus, whether I am standing or walking or sleeping or awake, knowledge and vision are continuously and uninterruptedly present to me. Venerable sir, do those who speak thus say what has been said by the Blessed One and not misrepresent him with what is contrary to fact? Do they explain in accordance with the Dhamma in such a way that nothing which provides a ground for censure can be legitimately deduced from their assertion?" So here's the claim. Okay, so notice the kind of the form of what's going on here. Vacha-gotta has heard something about the Buddha. Somebody's made some claims and he's not sure whether it's true or not. So he, when he sees the Buddha, he takes a chance to ask and inquire about whether it's true or not. And so he's displaying a concern for truth and to not misrepresent the Dhamma. And this somewhat convoluted phrase in the last half of the paragraph here, in such a way that nothing which provides a ground for censure can be legitimately deduced from their assertion. I mean, once you kind of worked your way around what it actually saying, it's saying, is this right or not? Right? It's effectively what it's saying. It's quite a complex kind of idiom in Pali. So, of course, this being a very, very important question for the Indian spiritual one which, as far as I know, doesn't have any parallel in the Western sphere. You know, you don't find, say, the Greek philosophers or sages and so on and so forth claiming to have this kind of rather extraordinary omniscience, which the Indians claim with somewhat degree of regularity. And of course, as Bhikkhu Bodhi notes, this kind of omniscience is what the Jain teacher Nigantha Nataputta, or Mahavira, claims elsewhere in the Majjhima Nikaya.
The Pope says something, then it's...
It's infallible.
That's the word.
Yeah, when the Pope says, you know, I need to go to the bathroom, then that's infallible.
Yeah,
that
is true.
Papal infallibility is actually only in when it's specially invoked in matters of central doctrinal statements, and it's only actually an invention in the 19th century. Before that, there was never any idea of papal infallibility. I think it only came up as a response to textual criticism, because everyone was sort of inquiring and questioning the Catholics, so they had to have some way of... Yeah, well, they typically, in the Tibetan, this is one of the things, but certainly in the Tibetan tradition, they typically have... You know, like I was at this thing, and one of the Tibetan monks was saying that their idea is that one of their contemplations is that there are countless Buddhas in the past and countless Buddhas in the future, and all of those countless Buddhas have unrestricted omniscient knowledge of the entire past and future, and they're all regarding you with compassion right here and now. Yeah? So there are countless Buddhas all through the 10,000 fold world systems who are thinking about you right now with love. Yeah, it's quite nice, isn't it? It's a little bit narcissistic, but... So yeah, they certainly take that to very, quite seriously. Watcha! So the Buddha's reply, watcha! Those who say thus do not say what has been said by me, but misrepresent me with what is untrue and contrary to fact. So Watcha Gotcha says, Venerable Sir, how should I answer that I may say what has been said by the Blessed One and not misrepresenting with what is contrary to fact? How may I explain in accordance with the Dhamma in such a way that nothing which provides a ground for censure can be legitimately deduced from my assertion? Vacha, if you answer thus, the recluse Gotama has the threefold true knowledge. You will be saying what has been said by me and will not misrepresent me with what is contrary to fact. Okay. So this is, of course, a very important little exchange. I'll just read Bhikkhu Bodhi's note here. The commentary explains that even though part of the statement is valid, the Buddha rejects the entire statement because of the portion that is invalid. So this is the commentary's interpretation. The part of the statement that is valid is the assertion that the Buddha is omniscient and all-seeing. The part that is excessive is the assertion that knowledge and vision are continuously present to him. According to the Theravada exegetical tradition, the Buddha is omniscient in the sense that all knowable things are potentially accessible to him. He cannot, however, know everything simultaneously and must advert to whatever he wishes to know. At Majjhima 90.8, the Buddha says, and we'll come back to this a minute, says that it is possible to know and see all, though not simultaneously. I'll come back to that in a moment. And the Anguttara Nikaya, he claims to know all that can be seen, heard, sensed, and cognized. This is understood by the Theravada commentators as an assertion of omniscience in the qualified sense. Okay, now this is quite an interesting little comment here by Bhikkhu Bodhi, and... I'll just kind of go through a few different issues that are raised here. okay, so first of all, notice how the commentator is dealing with this thing. The first of all, they have to kind of split up the statement into two parts, yeah, and to accept one and reject the other, which is a different way of approaching it than the Buddha approached it. Now, the question of the Buddha's omniscience was a major issue in the development of the Buddhist schools and the Buddhist doctrines. And of course, there are differences of opinions among the different schools. And the Theravadin school was relatively conservative in that regard. Other schools developed a more sort of encompassing notion of the Buddha's omniscience. So as we were just mentioning, it is widely regarded in the Tibetan tradition and probably others that the Buddha literally knows everything all the time, even in the past, present and future. When one of the differences here is not just that particular difference in regarding the Buddha, but also a more general difference between the schools in how understanding or wisdom was conceived. In the Theravadan tradition, which hails from the kind of more early Abhidhamma ideas, knowledge is something which arises in one mind moment, and so is discrete. You have like one mind moment, one instant of knowledge, and so you can only know that one thing in that one knowledge. So the Buddha can know whatever he likes, but he still can only know that one thing. Yeah? Whereas for the Mahayana schools and some of the later schools that developed, knowledge was something which was like an intuitive apprehension of a whole. Yeah? It wasn't knowledge of discrete things. And there was a big difference in emphasis about the nature of wisdom. The early schools, the nature of wisdom was particular. It was discrete. It was analytical. Whereas for the later traditions, like in the Prajnaparamita, knowledge was synthetic. It was like an intuitive apprehension of a whole and all the interconnectedness between that. Yeah. So this is why, one of the reasons why that different nature of the Buddha's knowledge is presented in different ways in different schools. Now, of course, the idea that he can know and see everything all the time is asserted quite explicitly by the Jain Mahavira, Nigatanatapurta, and of course then he's in the suttas, of course, it raises the obvious questions, you know, why do you walk into a town and then get bitten by a dog, yeah? He says, well, I had to get bitten by a dog, yeah, that's why I did it, yeah? And why did you turn left when you needed to go right? Well, I had to turn left, that's why. So he's these kind of rationalizations for these things. And we also find similar things found in later explanations where there are things which the Buddha did where he seemed to make a mistake. For example, he taught the wrong meditation object to a group of monks and they went off and killed themselves. Right? So it would seem to be a fairly major kind of blunder. So he might have said, well, that's a bit of a learning experience, you know. And but they kind of explained it, that it was due to their past karma or something like that. Now, interestingly enough, and I read from Bhikkhu Bodhi here once more, at Majjhima Nikaya 90.8, the Buddha says that it is possible to know and see, although not simultaneously. I find that an extraordinary statement. I'll just read out what Majjhima 90.8 actually says. Majjhima 90.8 says, meanwhile, King Prasenadi of Kosala said to the Blessed One, Venerable Sir, could something else have been said by the Blessed One referring to that, and the person understood it wrongly? In what way does the Blessed One recall making that utterance? And the Buddha said, I recall having actually made the statement in this way, Great King, there is no recluse or Brahman who knows all, who sees all simultaneously. That is not possible. What the Blessed One has said appears reasonable. What the Blessed One has said appears to be supported by reason. There is no recluse or Brahman who knows all, who sees all simultaneously. That is not possible. That's rather extraordinary. Bhikkhu Bodhi says that the Buddha said that it is possible to know and see all, though not simultaneously. He doesn't say that at all. What he says is he denies the opposite. He doesn't affirm the positive. He denies that it's possible to know and see all simultaneously. But he does not assert that it's possible to know and see all non-simultaneously. And the second quote that Bhikkhu Bodhi gives here at Anguttara 4.24, the Buddha claims to know all that can be seen, heard, sensed, and cognized. And that's, of course, a much more limited thing. That's merely saying that he understands everything which is in fact present to his consciousness. Okay? So everything which is in fact seen, heard, sensed, and cognized, yeah, is known and understood by him. So he's not saying that that's all that it's possible to know in the universe. He's saying whatever there is that's knowable, that I know. Yeah? Yeah, which is, and it is. So, and in all of that discussion about whether the commentary is right and so on and so forth, is also leading us away from the Buddha's actually point, which he's then saying is, what I do know is the threefold knowledge. Yeah? And so then to come back to that point, what is actually known is the threefold knowledge. And So recollection of past lives, the vision of beings passing away and reappearing according to their karma, and realizing the Four Noble Truths and the ending of defilements. So if you answer thus, the recluse Gotama has the threefold true knowledge, you will be saying what has been said by me and will not misrepresent me with what is contrary to fact. And so on. When this was said, the wanderer Vachagota asked the Blessed One, Master Gotama, is there any householder who, without abandoning the fetter of householdership on the dissolution of the body, has made an end of suffering? Okay? So any householder who, without abandoning the fetter of householdership